Okay, we're beginning here, three lines from the bottom on Ted Vava Mudbet. The Gemara, after the Mishnah, wants to know the psulim that are listed in the Mishnah, what is the source for the psulim? So the first one they asked about is Zar Minalan. How do we know that a Zar is Asur Pusel di Avodah? And then we had the Tani Levi, and then they brought the Pusuk that's found in the Parsha that we just read this Shabbat, which is Vayidber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Deber Aron V'Manavi Nazru. And so they're learning the pasuk, and that they will not cause a chilul because of Bnei Yisrael. And they parse the pasuk in such a manner as to say, Bnei Yisrael v'lo yichalulu. The Bnei Yisrael will cause the chilul, cause the profaning of the avoda. And that's how they know that a zar is restricted. So now the Gemara offers an alternative way to get to that source, not the Pasuk that is found in Parshat Emor, because they're parsing the Pasuk in an interesting manner to get the result that they want, and that's not necessarily the easiest way to get to that source. So Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tano, so Rabbi Shmuel had a different way to get there. Atya b'kavachomer. One can get there through a kavachomer mi bal mum, from someone who has a mum in it, also found in Parshat Emor, ma bal mum she'ochel, a Baal Mum who is permitted to eat from the Korbanot, im avad chilel. Nevertheless, if he does avoda, then he is michalel. He profanes the avoda. So it says, kol ish asher Baal Mum mizer Aron HaKohen, lo igash lakriv et tishrei Hashem. He's not allowed to bring the Korbanot. Mumbo, because he has a Mum, et lechem elukav lo igash lakriv. He's not allowed to approach or bring the Korbanot. Lechem elukav mekodshei HaKodeshim, umin kodoshim yochel. But he does have permission to eat from the kodoshim. So a mum disqualifies him from doing the avodah and causes a chilul in the avodah. On the other hand, he is permitted to eat from the korbanot. The pasuk explicitly grants him the right to eat from the korbanot despite the fact that he is disqualified from performing the avodah. Zar she'eino ochel, a zar who doesn't have the right to eat from the korbanot, eino din shim avad chilel, then certainly if he does avoda, that avoda should be mechulal, should be profane. It says, Mala Balmum, Shein Kei Nasabo Karev Kimakriv. Balmum has a unique aspect to it, maybe a chumrah that is associated with it, which is that the korbanot have the same din as the kohanim. Just like a kohen, Balmum, is not permitted to do avoda, so to a korban, Balmum is not allowed to be put on the mizbeach. As opposed to Zarut, where you don't have that problem, a Zar is not allowed to do Avoda, there's no concept of Zarut with regards to the Korban itself. Tamei Yochiach. So we'll use Tamei to offset that problem. By Tamei, it's not true that the Kohen has the same status as the Korban. That is because Balei Chaim lo mikablim Tuma. Human beings are the only living being that is mikabel Tuma. Animals that are alive are not mikabel Tuma. They're only mikabel Tuma after they're dead. So therefore, the status of Tumah vis-a-vis a Kohen is something that applies to him when it does not apply to a Korban, because the Korban itself can't become Tameh as long as it's still alive. Mala Tameh, Shekein Mit Tameh. Wait a minute, Tameh has a problem because it is Mit Tameh. It conveys Tumah forward. So it has a Chumrah that's associated with it. So what we thought was, just like a Tameh is not permitted to eat and also not permitted to perform a Voda, so too, an individual who is a zar, who's not permitted to eat, so too, he should not be permitted to perform the avoda. Or it says, you can't do that because Tumah has a aspect of Chumrah to it, which maybe causes that issue, which is that he can convey Tumah. It's not only Tameh, but he conveys Tumah forward. Balmum yochiach. So then you use the two of them. Balmum will dispel that thought. Bechazer adin. And then you'll go back and forth. Lori zek reizeh. The Chumrah of Baal Mum, which is the fact that the Korban also has that effect, is not found by the case of Tum'ah. Lo izeh kerei izeh, and the Chumrah of Tum'ah, that is Mitameh, is not found by Baal Mum. Tzadah sheveh shevehen, the common denominator between them is Shim Muzharim, that one is restricted from performing Avodah. Vim Abdu Chilulu. If they do the Avodah, then they are Michalel, they profane the Avodah. So that's the common denominator between them. Avani Avizar. Shehu Musar. I'll also include a Zar who is warned from performing Avoda. Bimavad Chilel. If he does the Avoda, then he has profaned the Avoda. Now, the Balei Tosfot point out that it's important here about Muzharin, that they are warned. Because otherwise you could have created other paradigms from which you might have come to the opposite conclusion, which is there are a number of Kohanim who are not permitted to eat the Korban, yet they are allowed to perform the Avodah. For instance, Korban Sibur, when it's done Bitumah. Korban Sibur Bitumah is not allowed to be eaten, but the Avodah is permitted. Kohen Gadol Onein, which we'll bump into again today, is permitted to do Avodah, but he can't eat it. So maybe say the same thing about Azar. Azar can't eat it, but he's still permitted, or the Avodah that he does is not profane. So the reason that Tosafot does not accept those paradigms is because of what the Gemara just said. The Malahalach Shekein in Muzharin. It comes to a Kohen Gadol Onein, he's not warned against going to do the Avodah. A Kohen Hejot, Bitumah, the Korbanat Zibur, is not warned against doing the Avodah. So that's why maybe the Avodah is not Mechulal. But over here, the Tzar has a warning. He's not allowed to engage in the Avodah. So therefore you can't compare those cases. And that's why the Gemara here focuses on this aspect of the Tzar being Muzhar, just like a Tamei and a Balmum are warned not to do the Avodah, and their Avodah is Mechulal, so too the Tzar who's warned not to perform the Avodah, his Avodah is Mechulal. But then the Gemara asks the obvious question, it's Minolan de Muzhar. Isn't that what we're searching for? We're searching for the source, for the fact that a Tzar makes the Avodah Pasul. There are two aspects to that. First of all, the Tzar is not permitted, and in the fact that he's not permitted, it also profanes the Avodah. But you have to have the original statement, which is, it is Asur. Where do you get that from? Imi v'inazru, if you want to use the same pasuk that Tana Delevi used, v'inazru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael, then you don't need anything else. Chilul gufei k'tibbei. The chilul is written in the pasuk. Then you're back to Tana Delevi Levi. You don't need to use Tana Delevi Shmal, because the pasuk itself says v'inazru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael. If that is the warning against the Tzar doing avoda, it says v'lo yechalulu etshem kodshi. Pasuk itself says, so that they do not profane my avoda. But if that's the case, then you know that a Tzar is profaning it. You don't need the Kal v'chomer at all. Ella, you learn it out from Adad Korach, with the warnings after Adad Korach, when Hashem instructs Moshe Rabbeinu to do the whole procedure with the staff of Aaron, to show that Aaron and the Kohanim are chosen. Over there it makes an explicit statement that a Tzar is precluded from engaging in Avodah, where it says, "V'nilvu alecha, the Levi'im will be with you, Shamru at Mishmeret Olmoed, the Chol Avodat Olel, and you will protect and secure the Olmoed for all the Avodah, Bizar lo yikrav aleichem, and no foreigner may engage with you." So there is the restriction against a Tzar getting involved. Then, through Balmum and Tamei, you will come to the conclusion, when you warn not to do Avodah, the impact of doing Avodah is that it is Mechulal, that it is Pasul, and the Avodah doesn't count at all. It says, you can undermine this Kal v'chomer. They are not permitted in a bama. That means that a balmum and a tamei are both restricted when it comes to a bama ktana. That's not true of zarut. A zar is allowed to bring a korban on a bama. How do you know that? Rashi says, first of all, the restriction against zarut, what we just read from Sefer Bamidbar, is in the context of avodat olmoed. Zar lo yikrav aleichem is in a situation in which you're speaking about the Mishkan, or the Olmoed. That's number one. So the restriction doesn't refer to a Bama, or to Avodah in general. It speaks to the Mishkan in particular. Number two, Vikrai nami mukhechei. And Rashi says, the psukim also evidence the fact that Zarim can bring korbanot. And he brings three examples, two of which are very difficult. One is Gidon, who brought the korban when the malach came to visit him. Manoach, when he and his wife see the malach giving them instructions about the baby Shimshon they're going to have. Ushmuel, shikribu b'mama. And Shmuel, who does a number of times, is makrib b'mamot. So he brings three individuals who brought on b'mot who are not kohanim. And so you see from that that zarim are allowed to work on the b'ma. Two out of those three are difficult. Truthfully, it's a difficulty that exists throughout Sefer Shoftim. And that is because Mishkan Shiloh is still extant. We know Mishkan Shiloh is still around until the time of the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. That's the whole story with Shmuel and the destruction of the Mishkan and Eli's death. And then Shmuel is the successor to Eli in terms of being the leader of Klal Yisrael. So Shmuel, we know, is not a Kohen and he brings Bamot, but he's doing it at a time that there is Heter Bamot, because Shiloh is destroyed. So then maybe you can bring a proof from Shmuel. Problem is, Gidon and Manoach are bringing Bamoth when the Mishkan is still standing. So what you'd have to argue is that it's Horat Shah. That for whatever reason, it was a special occasion and they were bringing the Korban. But once you do that, you can't prove anything by the fact that they are Zarim, because it's an exception to the rule. It wasn't even a Zman Heter HaBamot. So just interesting that Rashi brings those three examples when two out of the three of the examples were technically doing something wrong. They weren't allowed to bring it on a Bama Ketana because Mishkan Shiloh was still around at that time. But nevertheless, here we have a distinction that is uniquely associated with Tamei and Balmum. Maybe that Chumrah, that you're not allowed to have them by a Bama, makes it that the Avodah is Mechulal. But by the case of Zar, where it is permitted by a Bama, maybe the Avodah would not be Mechulal. Lo Tamei Tamei Yochiach. All right, drop Tamei from the Hochacha here. Ela'ema Onein Yochiach. We'll use Onein instead, which means we'll use a combination of Balmum and Onein. Malo Onein, Shekein Asur B'maser. Onein also has a Chumrah, which is based on Vidui Maisa that's found at the beginning of Parshat Kitavo, where it says, Lo achalti ba'oni mimenu. One of the things you declare in the Vidui Maisa is that I didn't eat, consume from the Maser Sheni, while I was an Onein. So you see that it has a Chumrah. Maybe that's why the Avodah is Mechulal when an Onein does it. Balmum Yochiach. Balmum will offset that. Balmum doesn't have that issue with Maser, because they're a Din. And they'll offset each other's Chumrot. The Chumrah Baal Mum, which is it applies to the Korban just as much as the Kohen, that's not true by Onein. Onein is only relevant by the case of the Kohen himself. And Lori Zechariah Zeh, and the Isser of Maser is only relevant to Onein, it's not relevant to a Baal Mum. So the Veshaven, the common denominator between them is Shimuzharim, that one is warned against doing such a Voda, and it's Michalel the Avoda. So too, by the case of Zar, he is Muzhar Aleha, and therefore it should be Mechulal. Hachanami Lifroch, Malatzada Shavesh Ben Jekein Lohutra Bebama. Wait a minute, you have the same problem you had before. You replaced Tamei with Onein, but did you gain anything? Because the problem you had with Tamei and Balmum was that they're both Asurim Bebama, as opposed to Zar, which is permitted by Bama. Well, now you exchange Tamei for Onein, maybe you have the same problem. Balmum and Onein are also restricted by Bama. They're restricted by a Bama. Maybe that Chumrah is what causes it to be Mechulal. So Matkivlar of some of Rederova, some of Rederova says, Man Leimelan Onein Asur B'Bama. You're making an assumption here. Since when do you know that an Onein is Asur B'Bama? Dilma Shari B'Bama. Maybe Onein is totally fine by a Bama. Now that really relates to where the restriction from of Onein comes from. And that is from the Kohen Gadol. By the Tuma of the Kohen Gadol, it says, as opposed to a Kohen Ejot, where if he has one of the seven relatives pass away, he becomes Tamei for them. The other hand, a Kohen Gadol doesn't become Tamei for anyone, not even Aviv V'Imo. Then it says about him, Umina Mikdash Lo Yetzei, he may not leave the Mikdash, Velo Yechalel et Mikdash Elokav, the way Rashi reads it, and he will not profane the Avoda that he does. Ki Nezer Shem Mishkat Elokav Alav Ani Hashem. The explanation here is that why doesn't the Kohen Gadol leave the Mikdash? Because he will not profane the Avodah that he does. So we learn from that that a Kohen Gadol is not profaning his Avodah. But Acher Shavad, anyone else who's an Onein and does Avodah, would be Michalel the Avodah. The limud is a Kohen Gadol remains because he's not Michalel. Meaning that everybody else must leave because they would be Michalel the Avodah if they were an Onein. But look at the context in which it's written. It says, V'lo yechalel et mikdash elokav. So it doesn't profane the mikdash. That shows you that aninut is particularly associated with the mikdash. And he doesn't leave the mikdash because he doesn't profane the avoda. That means that that din that you learned that a hedjot must leave the mikdash because he will profane the avoda is relevant only by the mikdash. That's the deal you're making out of the pasuk. So that means that by a bama, maybe onein is totally fine. And the deal in the pasuk seemingly is very supportive of that view. So much so that the question is, what was the Gemara's Havamina to say that an Onein would be a Asur B'Bama? The source is here from Kohen Gadol, which specifically mentions Mikdash. How would you ever have a Havamina to say that a Onein should be impermissible with regards to a Bama? So if you look in the Shita Mekubetz at Od Gimel, he says, Bim Tomar Ve'echi Sakadatcha Ochid Onein Asur B'Bama. If that's the case, how do you ever have a Havamina that an Onein should be a Asur B'Bama? It says, Mina Mikdash. It's specific in the Pasuk. It says, Yesh Tomar, Disvirle Mishum Rabuta de Kohen Gadol Nakte. does it because of the chiddush of the Kohen Gadol. To lo yetze, afilu min ha-migdash. That a Kohen Gadol doesn't leave, even from the migdash, of all the ulam, who adin b'bama. The same would be true by bama, but you might have had a havamina that by bama, anunin is asur. But a Kohen Gadol who has permission to avoda, maybe that's true by a bama. But by the migdash, which is super kadosh, and now the Kohen Gadol is an onein, maybe he should have to leave. So the pasuk was emphasizing to you that even from the mikdash, he doesn't have to leave. That doesn't mean that it wouldn't be true by a bama. It's just saying that even in the mikdash, which is super kadosh, an onein Kohen Gadol still stays there and is not mechalel the avodah. So that would be the havamina. And then the conclusion, the gemara is, no, because it says, min ha-mikdash lo yetze, and it's particular to the mikdash, but by bama, onein would be mutar. If that's the case, now you have your kal v'chomer. Your kal v'chomer is that between Baal Mum and Onain, who don't share any common denominators, but do share the common fact that they are both Muzarim, they're not allowed to do Avoda. If they do the Avoda, it's Mechulal. So from that, you can extrapolate to Zar, who's also Muzhar, from the Pasuk in Bamidbar, to not engage in Avoda. And that tells you that just like he's Muzhar, he will also be Mechalel if he engages in that Avoda, from the Kal B'chomer, from Baal Mum to Zar. Just as a sidebar, the way that Rashi reads the Pasuk, there is no lav in the Pasuk. Min ha-mikdash lo yitze, v'lo yichalel le-mikdash elukav. That is not a lav, but rather an explanation for why he shouldn't leave the mikdash. He shouldn't leave the mikdash because he does not profane the avoda. The Rambam happens to count it the same way Rashi does and does not count it as a mitzvah. But there are many monei ha-mitzvot who disagree with that interpretation. Ramban, both ala Torah, argues on Rashi. And the Sefer Mitzvot argues on the Rambam and said this is a lav. It is min ha-mikdash lo yitze. He may not leave the mikdash. V'lo yichalel et mikdash elukav. He may not profane the mikdash. Meaning, if he leaves, he will profane the mikdash. Because of his position as the Kohen Gadol, he has to stay in the mikdash. And the Pasuk is exhorting him, lo yichalel et mikdash elukav. Do not leave. If you leave, you are profaning the mikdash. Your position requires you to maintain the order and the kedusha of the mikdash, and if you leave, lo yichalel mikdash elukav. So that's the chilul. But that means that the deal for a kohen of hedyot is that there's no lav for him to leave. There's no restriction against him leaving the mikdash. But you can't necessarily prove from that that it is mechulal. His avoda is mechulal. Because all it's saying is, min ha-mikdash le-yitzei, the kohen gadol should not leave the mikdash. But if he does leave the mikdash, then he's mechalel the mikdash. Implying that a Kohen Gadol can leave the Mikdash, and he will not be Mechalel by leaving it. But then you don't have any restriction against the Kohen Gadol being Mechalel, the Avodah. Which, again, will come up as an opinion coming up. I'm just pointing it out to you, because those two interpretations actually result in different views as to whether there's a lav in the Pasuk, as to whether the Chilul is going on his leaving, or the Chilul is going on the Avodah. And that also has impact on what you think it means for a Kohen Gadol. Now, Rav Masharshi Amar, Achi Kal V'Chomer Miyoshev. You can actually learn it out of as a Kal V'Chomer from one who sits to do Avoda. Well, Mishnah noted that one of the people disqualified from doing Avoda is a Yoshev. Someone who is seated may not perform Avoda. Ma Yoshev, She'ochel Im Avad Chilel. Someone who is seated is allowed to eat the Kodoshim, yet if he does the Avoda, it is Mechulal. It is profaned. Now, in terms of eating, sitting down, it's very interesting. The Baal Tosfos will tell us, Mayoshev she'ochel kagon bimuram mikodoshim ubichor. He brings you things that are taken off the kodoshim, or really kodshim kalim, and bichor. So he only says it about kodshim kalim. The kohanim also eat kodshei kodoshim. They eat from the chatat, they eat from the asham, they eat from the korbanot tzibur that are not olot. They do eat from those korbanot, they're kodshei kodoshim, they must be eaten in the azara. Why does Tosafot only bring examples of items that are taken from Kodshim Kalim? So the Shita Mikubetzet in Otchof says, Di'i b'shar Kodashim she'enam ne'achalim elo ba'zara. You're talking about other Kodashim, Kodshei Kodashim that are in Azara. Ha asur le'shei ba'zara. There's a restriction against sitting in the Azara. One must stand in the Azara. So he claims, according to one view here, the reason Baal Tosafot only gave examples of Kodshim Kalim is because if they were kodshei kodashim, the kohen would have to stand to eat it. So Yoshev, we're saying here, a Yoshev eats, and he is also mechalel avodah. He only eats when it's regards to kodshim kalim. Regards to kodshim kodshim, he actually has to stand to eat it, and that's why Tosfot only brought examples of kodshim kalim where a kohen is permitted to sit down. Inami, he says, afilu bekodshim kodshim ayri, even by kodshim kodshim, it is true he could sit down to eat them. Betzorech korban shayni, the need for the korban is different. It allows you to sit in the azara. Tichtiv lamashcha natativ lecha. So the Gemara Darshins, the Mashcha, means Mishicha, anointing. Darshin l'kaman derech sasarim uchlim ota. You have to eat like royalty. When it comes to eating the korbanot, you have to treat them and eat them like royalty would eat them. And sarim don't eat standing up, they eat sitting down. So that would permit the kohanim to sit in the azara, even though in general you're not allowed to sit in the azara at all. Nobody's allowed to sit in the azara. But the kohanim would get special permission for eating the korban because it's a part and parcel of the korban, the necessity to consume the korban and the mitzvah of eating the korban, and therefore they could sit down. So either you say that it's only speaking about kodshim kalim, where they're eating seated, and it's mutar, that's what the Balei Tosfot would seem to imply. Shitumei Kobetzet brings an alternative that maybe even by kodshim kodshim nezara, they would be permitted to sit down. But with that, they are permitted to sit down, but im avad chilel, if they do avodah their michalel, zar, shein ochel, Zaru clearly cannot partake of the korbanot. Enu din sheim avad chilel. Then certainly, if he performs the avoda, he should be mechalel the avoda. He should profane it. Mali Yoshev shekein pasul le'edut. Wait a minute. Yoshev has a chumrah associated with, which might be what's causing the chilul over here, which is it has application by edut, that a individual who sits down for edut is disqualified. So Yoshev is not only a din by kohanim. It has implication in other areas where we see that maybe that's a chumrah with regards to Yoshev. And it's not just random that they're picking an issue of Edud, because the source for the fact that one cannot sit by Edud comes from the Pasuk. So the concept of Nei Hashem, which is also applicable by the Korbanot, is also relevant by Edud. And you see by Edud, Nei Hashem demands that one may not be seated. And so maybe that's a chumrah that's unique to yeshiva, that whenever you're lifnei Hashem, you can't sit down. And that also has impact on why the avoda is mechulal, because it's something that's considered to be problematic anytime you're lifnei Hashem, even outside the context of the mikdash, but lifnei Hashem, it'll be problematic. And maybe that's the chumrah of Yoshev. So Gemara says, Miyoshev Talmud Chacham, that you could learn it from the fact that a Talmud Chacham is permitted to sit down. If you remember, we learned this in the Gemara in Makot, that regards to Edut, that if it is beneath the dignity of the Chacham to come to the court, we don't say, don't come to the court, we say, come to the court, and we'll seat you in the court, so it'll be within your dignity to come to the court and testify. But you see from that, Edim in general are required to stand, because it says, Vamdu Shnei Anashim, even though the Pashtuta Pazuka speaks about the litigants, it's saying, Vamdu Shnei Anashim. We saw from the Gemara that they darshaned over there, that the Shnei Anashim, it's really referring to the Edim, and that the Edim have to be standing when they give over their testimony. But there are exceptions, and one of those exceptions was a Talmud Chacham, that he has permission to sit down because of his kavod. So you see that there are times when yeshiva is allowed by Edut, so you can't claim it's some sort of chumrah in general by yeshiva. Gemara says, wait a minute, Malashim Yoshev Shekein Pasul Edut. So forget about particular instances where yeshiva is accepted and you're allowed to do it by edut, but in general, yeshiva by edut is not permitted. You have exceptions to the rule, but there is this concept of shame yoshev, that the generic yoshev does have psul by edut. It says shame yoshev lo parich. That's not a type of question that we would ask. We already saw this earlier in the Masechta, that there's a difference between when you're learning from one particular item, or when you're learning from Etzada Shavet. If you're learning from one particular item, you need a significant distinction to say that you can't learn one from the other. Over here, you're trying to say you can't learn Zayr from Yoshev, because Yoshev has a Chumrah by it. The Chumrah is that Edud is Pasul B'Yeshiva. But we know we have exceptions where Edud is permitted B'Yeshiva. So then you say, oh, shame Yoshev. Within the world of Yoshev, there are problems in Edud. That's already a very weak dismissal of the ability to learn from Yoshev to Zar, and therefore you won't invoke that type of logic. The other hand, when you have a Tzad HaShavet, and you're trying to learn it between two items, and saying that the common denominator between them, that any little item that is common between them will undermine it. Because over there, you're trying to gather things that are different and find the commonality between them and isolate that commonality. As soon as you find an extra commonality between them that then causes a problem to allow you to learn the other item, you foiled the Tzad HaShaveh. But when you're learning from one distinct item to another distinct item, you need a significant item to say that it's improper. And that's what he's saying here. That Shem Yoshev Lo Parich. That's not the type of question that you would ask. Im Tim Salom Ar Parich. And even if you want to say, you would ask from such a question and say it's a problem, Ajev Yoshev V'chada Mihanach. Then you'll learn it out of Yoshev and one of the other items, which is Onein, Tamei, or Balmum. If you combine Yoshev with one of those other items, then you'll get a Tzad HaShaveh Shaveh that you won't have a problem. The Chumrah of Yoshev Ba'idut doesn't apply to Tamei, Balmum, and Onein. They don't have any application Ba'idut. All those individuals can testify, so there's no Chumrah over there. Whatever Chumrah you have by Balmum, Tamei, and Onein will be offset by Yoshev. So through the common denominator between them, then you can learn out this din, that if you are Muzhar, warned against doing Avodah, that your Avodah will be Mechulal, that it will be profaned by doing this. Now the Ba'i Tosafot bring over here, from this Gemara it sounds like Yeshiva Be'idut is a De'oraita, it is a Torah prescription, and it's a demand on the individual to stand up. And if you don't stand up, that would disqualify the Edut. And you can see that in the Tosafot, Ma'al Yoshev Shekim Basot, Tzarich Lizaher, Shlo Ladun Al Pi Edut, Dimi Yushav. You should be careful not to adjudicate any case where the Edim are sitting down. It sounds from the Gemara here that it's a complete disqualification. A dude that's given when you're seated is completely undermined, and you can't do that. Ubergeti tichat, tzarikli zeher yoter. And by a get of a woman, you have to be super careful that everybody's standing up for this. So he says, v'shema diavad in lachush. Maybe b'diavad you can say that you don't have to worry about it. Damar b'yushalmi. So he brings from the Yushalmi that the Dayanim are supposed to be seated in order to adjudicate, and that the Edim be standing. And despite that fact, the Yushami says that even though the Dayanim have to be seated, nevertheless, if they stood up, b'diavad, it's fine. So he says, Al-Kanami, maybe the same thing is true by the Edim. Just like the Dayanim are supposed to be seated and they stand up, it's not a problem. So too, if the Edim were supposed to be standing, sit down, so too, it shouldn't be a problem. So Tosafot backs away a little bit from that and says, despite the fact that it sounds like from here that Yeshivat Edut would be a complete psul, and you would not be able to overcome it. Nevertheless, it says maybe b'diavad, there's room to say that you can overcome it. But also it has huge impact in terms of Edim who are seated when they give their testimony as to whether that's valid testimony. If you take this very literally, then that would be invalid testimony. You couldn't adjudicate the case based on that testimony, because they must be standing to be designated as Edim. Otherwise, it would be problematic. Alright, so now the Gemara says, V'yoshev, the kasher bebama, minolan. How do you know that Yoshev, that's sitting in a bama, is kasher? Because if you take any one of the other items, which is Onein, Balmum, and Tamei, we said before that Balmum and Tamei are restricted by a bama. So if they're restricted by a bama, and so is Yoshev restricted by a bama, then you'd end up with a common denominator between them that they are all a serim b'mama, which is not true by a zar, then you couldn't learn from that. So how do you know that being seated by a b'mama is not a problem? Amar kra, la'amod b'fnei Hashem l'sharato. The reason you learn that your shave is problematic is because when you're misharet b'fnei Hashem, then you la'amod. You have to be omeid. You have to be standing. You must be standing in order to service before Hashem. B'fnei Hashem, below b'fnei b'mama. That is a unique din when you're lifnei Hashem, which means you're in the Mikdash, not relevant by a bama, because a bama is anywhere. It's not necessarily lifnei Hashem. The lack of lifnei Hashem makes it that you don't have the requirement of lamod lifnei Hashem ulisharto. So amidah is a unique din associated with the Mikdash. We now found the source for zar, either from Tana de Beit Levi, which we learn out from the Beryl Aron of Banav Lemor, v'nazru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael, and the parsing of the Pasuk of B'nai Yisrael, or we learn out of Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, which was through a Kal V'chomer and a Tzad HaShaveh from Balmum and Onein, or you learn it out from Rabbi Sharshia, which is interesting, because Rabbi Sharshia is an Amora. Tana Debei Levi and Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel are Tanaim. Here you have Rabbi Sharshia, an Amora, who is bringing in a different opinion. What you have to suggest is that the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel said there's a Kal V'chomer, but he didn't explicate on what the Kal V'chomer was. And that the Gemara's attempt to figure that out was the previous case. When they said, I will learn it out from Malmum, that wasn't a statement that Tana de Beir Shmuel. It was trying to explain the Tana de Beir Shmuel, which says you learn from a Kal Vachomer. What is that Kal Vachomer? And you can see that in the Shittu Mekubetz at Dan Od Gimel on the Amud Bet, where he says, Lo bar Rav Mashar shelach loka de Beir Rabbi Shmuel, because he's a Tana. Ela Tana de Beir Rabbi Shmuel amar devrav bikitzur, ache bekal Vachomer. And then the Gemara presents one option as to what it could be. Mi Balmum and Onein. And then Rav Misharship offers another alternative. The Kal Vachomer was from Yoshev, even one of the other items that are there. It could be learned from any one of them, because in by Tamei and Balmum, there are Asur, Bimamot, that will be offset by the fact that a Yoshev is Mutar Bimamot. And even Onein, which is Mutar Bimamot, yes, that will be a common denominator between Onein and Yoshev, but that's a Kula. So if that's a kula, and you still say it's a sur, then certainly by the case of Zar, it should be applicable. Because Zar is also mutar b'bamot, and therefore there's no reason to believe that that would upend the Kal Vachomer. So therefore, for Gertr Misharsha, you can use Yoshev in any one of those three items, Tamei, Bamum, and Onein, and you would get to the limud that you're looking for. Okay, Onein Minolon. How do we know that an Onein is Posel Avoda u'michalel de Avoda? Dichtiv, so he brings on the pasuk, umina migdash lo yitzei, velo yichalel, that he will not leave the migdash and not profane. Ha acher shelo yatza, chilel. Someone else who does not leave is michalel. So this reading is similar to what Rashi seems to say, which is, migdash lo yitzei, you may not leave the migdash, velo yichalel et migdash elukav, and he will not profane the avoda. Implying that if someone else did stay, they would be profaning the avoda. Rabbi Elazar Amar Mehocha. Rabbi Elazar rejects that understanding. And in many senses, maybe what Rabbi Elazar is saying is like the Ramban's interpretation of the Pasuk. Ramban's interpretation of the Pasuk is, Min HaMikdash LeYitzei, he may not leave the Mikdash, Velo Yichalel Et Mikdash Elokav, that he will not then profane the Mikdash by leaving. From that, you can't infer anything. And that's what he says here, Hein Akrivu Ani Hikravti. Did they bring the korban? I brought the korban. Had they brought it, it would have been a problem of sreifa. This is a reference to the psukim in Parshat Shmini, when after Nadav and Avihu die, and Moshe tells Aaron and Eleazar and Tamar that they have to stay in service for the miluim, then there's a little incident there where they burn a seir. And Moshe comes and asks them, why did you burn the seir? And there's a back and forth there, which is somewhat cryptic, which we'll get to much later in the Masechta. The Gemara then will try to decipher what exactly the problem was. What was the issue? One of the opinions is that the problem that Moshe thought was that they were onanim. And since they were onanim, had they done the avoda, they would have disqualified it, or they would have made it mechulal. And that's what's being asked over here, which is, Yitzayir Chatash, Darosh Darash Moshe, Binev Sorach. Schirata was burnt. By Tzof Elazar Tamar Ben Aaron Atarim Leimor. Madua lo achalton at hachatat b'mkum kodesh. Ki kodesh rukim hu. Ba'odah natan lachem laseit et avon eidah lachaper lehem lifnei Hashem. By the Bar Aaron el Moshe. Aaron responds to Moshe. Heina yomi kribu at chatatam. Were Elazar and Tamar the ones that did the hakrava? Be'odah lotan lifnei Hashem. Dikren alotin kaela. Ba'chalti chatat ayom eidah b'nei Hashem. If I eat the chatat, would that have been good? Ba'ishma Moshe ba'itah be'inav. So there is an opinion later on, which Rabbi Elazar is subscribing to, which is, Heina Krivu, did they bring the Korban? Meaning, if Onanim, Konei Yehedjot, had brought the Korban as Onanim, then that would have been Michalel de Avoda. He says rhetorically to Moshe, did Elazar and Tamar bring it? That's the problem? No, no, I brought it. And as the Kohen Gadol, Ani Hikrupti, when I do it, we know from the Psukim in Emor, that he's not Michalel it. So what do you see from that is, Michlau, Deinu Akrif Shapari Starif. You would have learned or inferred from that, had Elazar v'Tamar done the Avoda, it would have been burnt. So what you see from that is an Onein, that does Avoda, is Michalel the Avoda. That's a Diuk out of that Pasuk. Verbal Lazar, my time alomar, umina migdash lo yitzei. Why doesn't he just learn it out simply from the Pasuk in Emor, that says about the Kohen Gadol, that he can't go out of the migdash? Where does it say in the Pasuk that someone else who doesn't do it is Michalel? Rashi just reads it as being that the Pasuk cannot be there just for the Diuk, because the Etzem Alofa is important too, to teach you that the Kohen Gadol is not Mechalel his Avodah, despite his status, he's still not Mechalel the Avodah. And so that statement in of itself was important enough to be written in the Torah, and therefore it can't just be there for the diuk about Kein Hejot. It's a standalone statement that has significance even without the diuk, and that's why he's not willing to make the diuk about a Kein Hejot. And in many senses, again, that might be closer to the reading of the Ramban of the Pasuk, which is, in a minute, Tesh, lo yitzeh, should not leave the Mikdash, but lo yichalel Mikdash elokav, because if he leaves, he will profane the Mikdash. Implied in that is someone else who is a Kohen Hejot and leaves will not be Mechalel the Mikdash when he leaves. But that doesn't have any implications about what would happen with the Avodah. Had he done the Avodah, we don't have anything from that. All it says is he can leave the Mikdash. So that might be Rabbi Elazar's reasoning, and that's why he searches for a different Pasuk. And that Pasuk is found in Parashat Shmini with regards to the Seira Nisraf that Moshe is questioning, and Aaron gives him that answer, that I did it, not the boys. Had the boys done it, sounds like it would have been okay that it was Saruf, but that is spelling of Moshe's supposition that the Elazar Mitamar did the Avodah, and that's why they're burning it, was incorrect. But that implies, had they done it, it would have been correct to burn it. V'idach, my time alo amar, mehene grivu. Why doesn't he say from the Pasuk in Shmini? Kasavar mipnei tuman yisrafa. He subscribes to the other opinion in the end of the Gemara in Zvachim, which says that it was accidental tumah that came into the Korban. And that has to do with the fact that they were onanim, and because they were onanim, they were unable to consume the Korban. So even though an onan, Kohen Gadol, is permitted to do the Avodah, what he's not permitted to do is eat the Korban. Not a Kohen Hejot, not a Kohen Gadol, neither of them are allowed to eat when they are onanim, the Kodoshim. So that's an opinion later on, that they couldn't eat it, and it was sitting around, and by accident it became Tameh, and that's why they burnt it. Now, as Rashi notes over here, according to the one who says they were Onanim, that opinion believes that Aninut Laila is also De'oraita, because they're basically saying we were precluded from eating it, and that's what they end up burning it for, because there was nobody to eat it. Now, that's only true if you believe that they were Onanim for the day that Nadav and Abihu died, and the night afterwards. That is true, then there would be no period in which they could eat the chatat, because they were disqualified during the day, disqualified at night. The chatat is only yom v'layla. They were completely disqualified, and that's where they burnt it. Had it been that you believe aninu layla is mutar, then they could have eaten it that night, and they shouldn't have burnt it just because they were onanim. That's number one. Number two is, the Baya Tosafo point out, havametz the meimah some of the tanit be'i shmol kosover mipnei aninut nistrafa. Ve'eni krivu ati lazara. There's another way to learn the Pasuk, which is a third view, which is nothing like either of the two views that we bring later on. It could be, the possibility is that they did burn it because of Aninut. Again, what I explained now, the Aninut, which is, they were not permitted to eat it. But nevertheless, the Pasuk that says over there is a mistaken assumption. And that's what we're going to see. The Gemara is going to introduce that possibility. And maybe from there you can't learn any Yisur, which we'll see in a second. So, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. Acha b'kavachomer mibal mum. Can learn it out from a bal mum, an onain from a bal mum. Uma bal mum sho'ochel. A bal mum, as we've seen in Parshat Emor, is allowed to consume the korbanot. Imavad chilel. If he does a boda, it's michulal. Again, the psukim are explicit in Emor with regards to that. Onain she'en ochel. Onain which is not permitted to eat. Enudin shimavad chilel. And certainly if he does a boda, it should be michulal. Again, Balmum has a chumrah where the korban itself has the same status as the balim. There's no distinction between them. Mum by a korban and mum by the kohen. Even though some of the mumim are not the same, but that's because some of them are unique to human beings, some of them are unique to behemoth. But anything that's overlapped, they have the same din with regards to a balmum. So maybe that's a chumrah that makes it that the avodah is mechulal. Zar yochiach. Zar, which we just learned out, will prove that wrong. Malazar shekein lein lo takana. Wait a minute, zar has a chumrah, which is, that's a permanent state. You can't undo the state of being a zar. Balmum yochiach. Balmum doesn't have that. Balmum can get better. If the mum is fixed, then the kohen can go back into service. So then, the chazar adin, you'll have a tzadah shevesh b'neihem. The chumrah of the Baal Mum, which is it applies to the korbanot, does not apply to a zar. because there's no zarut by behema, and lo rezek rezek, and the chumrah of zar, which is a permanent state, doesn't apply to baal mum, because that's something that can be rectified. So the common denominator between them is shein muzarin, that there is a restriction against those individuals engaging in avodah, which is both a baal mum and a zar are restricted against doing avodah. V'mavdu chilulu. And if they do the avodah, then they are mechalalet. Avani avi onein shemuzar. Onein is restricted from doing avodah. V'mavad hi chilel. And if he did the avodah, it is mechulal. Heichan muzar. Same question we had by the zar, now we have over here. Where is there a warning against an onein doing avodah? You're saying, well, since he's warned not to do it, so you see from this that he also must be mechalel the avodah. But where does that warning come from? If you want to use the pasuk in Emor that says that the Kohen Gadol can't go out, then you don't need any other pasuk. That pasuk itself says v'lo yichalel et mikdashi, implying that someone else who does that is mechalel. So then you have chilul written there. Why do you need a kal v'chomer? Why do you need a tzedek shaveh? Ela meheni krivu. They learned it out from heina yomi krivu et katatam v'kasavar mipnei aninut nisrifa. So this is what the Tosfot was referring to, that this person believes that it was burnt because of aninut, but not because of onein, but aninut because they were not able to eat the korban. Since they were unable to eat the korban, they burnt it right away, since there was no possibility of anybody eating it. Aron says, did Elazar v'Itamar do the avoda, that it should have been nisraf? That would imply two things. One is that it's restricted from Elazar v'Itamar performing the avoda when they're onenim. And number two, it would imply, had they done the avoda, you should have burnt it. So you could have learned everything out of there. That would show you that it's also mechulal from there. Why you need the kal v'chomer? The answer is that there was a mistaken assumption. It says, Kushamalo, mipnei aninut sarfanua. And they said, we burnt it because of aninut. Ta'a. Moshe made a mistake. And when they said, we burnt it because of aninut, he thought this. Kasavashi kruvu onanim. He thought they brought it as onanim. Maybe the reason you burnt it was because you brought it as onanim. But you can't learn chilul from that because lav memra di avir hochi shaper istaru. That doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu agreed that that would have been a good enough cause to burn it. When they said to him, because of any new, we burnt it, Moshe's first reaction was, oh, that's because Elazar v'Itamar did it. Maybe you violated a lav and brought it as onanim. Not that you should have burnt it, but just that you were over that lav. And then the next statement would have been, you shouldn't have burnt it anyway. You can see that more explicitly in Tosafot, where he says that you have to give a little more depth of understanding to what Rashi is explaining. But to eat them, l'sorfalka. And it was a mistake to burn it because of that. So Aaron says, you know what, they didn't bring it, I brought it. So that line of thinking was moot. But technically, all Moshe was implying was that it was a sore for them to do it as onanim. He didn't necessarily agree with the conclusion that it should have been nisraf because of that. And mipnei aninut nisraf is because there were no ochlim. Nobody could eat it. And again, that means it was aninut yom and aninut laila, where they're right up. There were no eaters. Since there were no eaters, we burn it right away. But based on that, now you have a lav for a onein, being makriva korban. And through the kal v'chomer, you'll extrapolate that to tell you that not only is it that he's muzhar, he's warned against it, but he's also michalel the avodah if he does it. So that's what you learn out from that pasuk in Parshat Shmini. Now the Gemara continues and questions it. Yikal mifrach, you can undermine this kal v'chomer. Malatzad v'shaben, shkein. They have no permissibility at all. That means the kal v'chomer they're trying to learn from is baal mum and zar. Baal mum and zar are never mutarim. There's no case in the Mikdash where they are mutarim. As opposed to the case of onein, where we do find a manifestation or an opportunity for it to be mutar. That is a kohen gadol, onein is allowed to do work. So maybe Onain has a kula that is associated with it because we find that there's no absolute isur that's associated over here. And for that reason, the absolute isur is what makes the chilul avodah. And since Onain doesn't have that, maybe it should not be mechalel the avodah. And even though the truth is that we do find by Zar that it's hutar mechalelo, Because a zar is mutar bebama. Because a zar is allowed to work by a bama. The Balei Tosafot quote, and Rashi himself says, "Bizar to hutar bebama, in zar hutar mechlalo." That's not called hutar mechlalo, because in the Mikdash, there is no heter of zar at all. Zar in another context is mutar, but within the context of the Mikdash, zar is never permitted. It says, tamei yochiach. And you can throw in tamei to the mix. Mala tamei shekein mit tamei. Tamei has a chumrah, which is it conveys to man. Not only is he tamei, hanoch yochichu. You still have balmum and zar who don't have that aspect to them. Because they're a din. Now you have a chumrah in each one of them, but they can be undermined by another. Tuma is hutra b'tzibur, and the tzitz is meratzeh on tuma in certain instances. So we have it hutar michlala. So you see that that can't be the factor makes it that the aboda is mechulal, because by tamei the aboda is mechulal, even though it's hutar michlala. So that means that the chumrah of zar and bamum, the fact that they're not hutar michlalo, is not driving the conclusion that it is michalel aboda. So then, at tzadish beshben, the common denominator between bamum, zar, and tamei is that they're muzarim and they're michalel aboda. So too, an onein is muzar, and shvi mechalel abuda. Vilifroch, why don't you undermine it this way? Maratzal shvesh ben, shkein lo hutru michlalan, itzel kohen gadol bikurban yachid. There's a unique aspect about onein, as opposed to hutuma, which is hutra bitzibur, which is tuma is hutra when it's a kurban at zibur, or when it's a kurban at yachid that's done bitzibur, like a kurban at pesach. So you see that the heter of Tuma is associated with Sibur. So maybe Onain has a unique aspect to it that not only is it Hutra Mechlalo, it's Hutra Mechlalo by a Korban Yachid. Because a Kohen Gadol can bring his Korbanot or any Korban while he is an Onain. So maybe that's a unique Kula that's associated with Onain, which is not true of these other three items. It says, Shame Tuma Miu Ishtare. Still, it doesn't matter. Shame Tuma in general has Hutar Mechlala. Since it's hutar michlala, in general, we find dispensations that already shows you that that kula exists within tuma. That kula exists within tuma. That shows you that the chumrah here has nothing to do with korban yachid versus korban sibur. And what is mutar, not mutar, shows you that the common denominator between them is that they are warned against engaging in avoda. If they engage, it is michalel, the avoda. So that's why here you have these three things that can teach you this item. Although Tosafot points out there is a tzedek shaveh, even if you have zar, balmum, and tamei, which is that they are all chayav mita if they do avodah, as opposed to an onein who is not chayav mita, that should be a chumrah that should undermine this tzedek shaveh. It says, v'yesh lamar, the sabrala ki rabbonon, that balmum shishimesh ba'azara. He holds like the opinion of the rabbonon in Sanhedrin, that there's a difference between a zar, a foreigner who's not a Kohen at all, that does a vodo, who's chayav mita b'dei shemayim, versus a Kohen balmum, who is like a zar, but despite the fact that he's like a zar, he doesn't get the same punishment as a zar, he only gets malkot, there's an azhara, a lav against that, but not a chayav mita, and then that would dispel that common denominator between them. The Shita Mekubetz in Rav Gimel happens to point out something interesting, which is that the Gemara before thought that it was very clear that an onein was restricted, and they were willing to learn zar from onein. And then over here we have just the opposite. It says that it's obvious that a zar is a sur, and they want to learn onein from it. And so what the Shita Mekubetz basically says is it depends on your source for onein and your source for zar. Depending on what your source is, will make it whether you think it's more obvious or less obvious which one of these items is a sur. And so he says, that's the difference between these two Tanna Debei Rabbi Shmuel, is really what's the source for Onein, and what's the source for Zar. If you believe the source for Zar is V'yin Azaru, and then you think that's just not a good source, so that's why Zar to you is not so obvious, whereas Onein is much more obvious, because you can learn it out from Minimik Dach L'Yitzeh V'L'Yichalel, and make the diok out of it. On the other hand, if you think that Onein comes out of Hein Hikrivu, where it's not so obvious, whereas Zar comes out of the either in Azrub ibn Israel, or from the Pasuk in Parshat Korach of Mizar lo yikrav aleichem, then maybe Zar is more obvious than Onein, and that's why you would learn in that direction. So he says the two Tanit Debei Rabbi Shmuel are premised on different assumptions of sources, and that's why one of them believes Onein is much more obvious, and one of them believes that Zar is much more obvious. Rav Mesharshia, once again, Rav Mesharshia gives an alternative, and the same alternative he gave before, which is Amar Hachi B'Kavachomer Miyoshev, that he has as a Kavachomer from someone who's seated. Uma Yoshev She'ochel Imavad Chilel, Yoshev who can eat when he's seated, yet if he does Avoda, he's Michalel the Avoda. Unein She'enu Ochel, Unein who's not permitted to eat, Enu Din She'amavad Chilel, then certainly if he does the Avoda, it should be Michulal. Mal Yoshev She'kein Pasul the Eidot. What about the fact that a Yoshev is Pasul the Eidot? Again, we said, Mi Yoshev Talmud Chacham. That's not always true, that Yoshev by Eidot is Pasul. We have an exception to the rule of a Talmud Chacham. And Tosafot on the previous Amud points out, Im Kein Hadar Min Talmud Chacham Lo Lezel Asude the Kamei, Zuter Minei. The fact that a Talmud Chacham doesn't have to come to Beit Din to testify to a Beit Din that is beneath his dignity, La Mishum De Tzarich Lamol. That's not because he has to stand up in front of that Beit Din, because here you see that a Talmud Chacham can sit. El Mishum De Ziluto. It is a denigration. It is beneath his dignity to be engaged in such a discourse or testify before a Beit Din that is beneath his stature. And that's why the Talmud Chacham doesn't know have to testify. Because they have to do with the fact that he has to stand up. He's allowed to sit. So you see, that can't be the factor that is preventing him. And Tosfot over here notes that there's a distinction between Dinei Memonot. Gemara tells us by Dinei Memonot that he can sit down and he can claim Ziluta, that it's beneath his dignity to go. But it comes to Isurim, he doesn't have a right to declare it's beneath his dignity, because Isurim have to do with Hashem. And if it's Ben Adam LaMakom, then there's nothing beneath his dignity to be involved with. And therefore, he would have to come and testify in a case of Isur. And then, tell us about over here, similar to what he did in the Gemara in Shavuot, he asked, what about a king? We saw that by Yanai Melech and the story in Sanhedrin with Shimon ben Shetach, that they made Yanai stand up to testify. And yet the kavod of a king is greater than that of a Talmud Chacham, because the Talmud Chacham can't be mochel on his kavod. A king is not allowed to be mochel on his kavod, yet a Talmud Chacham is allowed to sit in the Beit Din, and a king is not allowed to sit in Beit Din. Why should that be? If a Talmud Chacham could sit, certainly a king should be able to sit. So the Baal Tosafot would say that's a misinterpretation of the hierarchy. The reason that a Talmud Chacham can be mochel on his kavod is not because it's less kavod or he has less honor than the king, but rather it's because of the fact that he owns the Torah. The Limud and the Gemara and Kiddushin, and Talmud Chacham, originally when he's learning, it's Torah Hashem. But once he acquires the Torah, it becomes Torah To. It's his Torah. And since it's his Torah, he has a right to decide whether he waives the kavod or doesn't waive the kavod. The king, on the other hand, is a subject of the people. He is in service of the people. And there's a requirement in Devarim, Eimato Tadei Alecha, that his fear should be above you. And so the king cannot be mochel on his kavod, because his kavod does not derive from himself. It derives from his position that it's in service of the people. And since it's not his kavod, he can't waive it. And the Torah demands that the king have a certain stature in order that he be the king. Therefore, the king doesn't have a right to waive it. So the reason a king can't waive his kavod is not because his kavod is greater than a Talmud Chacham, but as to the nature of the kavod. Based on that, the Tosafot says that maybe the kavod of a Talmud Chacham is greater. And that's why he's allowed to be seated. But a king doesn't have that status, and therefore he cannot get this dispensation to sit down. And then the end of that Tosafot, he discusses the other aspect that we discussed before in the Shita Mekubetzet. But maybe, why can't you say there's a chumrah about yeshiva, which is, Ein yeshiva bazara, lamachut Beit David. So yeshiva is a chumrah. Why don't you bring that chumrah up? The Baal Tosafot would say, you must have to say, Shema Enu Mina Torah. That restriction against sitting in the Azara, maybe is only a rabbinic injunction, that Be'alchu Beit David can sit, but others cannot sit. Maybe that's only rabbinic in nature, not a Din Doraita. And therefore it's not a Chumrah that's necessarily associated with Yeshiva. So the Gemara says on Rav Mesharshia's suggestion, what about Baal Hashem Yoshev Shekein Pasul Eidot? So even though a Talmud Chacham can sit down in order to testify, but in general, a dude in general has a problem with yeshiva, which is not true with regards to Onein. So the Gemara says, Shame Yoshev Lo Parich, similar to what it said before. Either Shame Yoshev, we don't ask that type of question. When you're learning on a one-on-one, from one item to another item, that's not a strong enough reason to say that the limud has failed. Beim Tim Salomar Parich, even if you want to undermine it, Atya Mi Yoshev Umechad Mehanach. Similar to the way we concluded before, you can take Yoshev and one of the other items, which would either be Zar, Tamei, or Balmum, and using one of those other items together with Yoshev, then you would come to the conclusion through a Tzadah Sheveh that an Onain should be Mechalel Avodah, because he's Muzar from doing Avodah, just like they're Muzarim from doing Avodah and Mechulau. So to over here, the Avodah should be Mechulau for an Onain. Now, as Tosfot points out, there is a problem with using Yoshev as the source, because we just said before, the whole problem of the previous Tana Debei Reishmo was because Yoshev is Lo Hutar Mechalalo. So Rav Misharshu is trying to offer an alternative in the end, is binding himself into the same problem of lo utar mechlalo. And the Sheet of Gobetz, once again, in Od Grimel, notes that what you have to say over here is that you're learning from Yoshev and Tamei, because otherwise you have the same problem that we had in the previous Matan Rebbe Shmo, which is lo utar mechlalan. Although the Karen Ora over here offers an alternative view, and he says that unlike before, when we said that Yoshev is lo utar mechlalo, even though Yoshev is mutar bebama, and Rashi says, well, within the Mikdash, there is no Hutar Mechlalo, then you could say the same thing about the Kohen Gadol as well. The Kohen Gadol Ba'aninut has a limited scope of Heter, which is for a Kohen Gadol in the Mikdash, there is a Heter of Aninut. So based on that, you have this idea that the Hutar Mechlalo is limited in scope. And it's not really Hutar Mechlalo everywhere, it's only in the Mikdash, not on the Bama. So the Yoshev being Hutar Mechlalo by the case of the Bama, not in the Mikdash, should be sufficient to make them on equal footing, and therefore it's not an undermining of the logic, because they are both classified as hutar mechlalo in their narrow scope. Right? Onein pasul, the fact that onein is pasul, Rava qualifies that. Amar Rava, lo shanu ela bekorban yachid. That's only true of a korban yachid. Aval bekorban sibur miratzeh. The korban sibur is fine with regards to the avod of an onein, kal v'chomer mituma. That is a logical extension from tuma. Matumash lo hutra mechlala, it's a kohen gadol be korban yachid. Tuma, which is not permitted by a kohen gadol and a korban yachid, nevertheless hutra it's a jot be korban tzibur. Nevertheless, by a kohen jot and a tzibur, tuma is hutra. That's what the concept of tuma hutra be tzibur is. So when you're dealing with a korban tzibur, it's mutar, even if it's a kohen jot that's doing it. Aninut shutra mechlala, it's a kohen gadol. A ninut, which does have permission by a kohen gadol be korban yachid, a nudin shutra it's a kohen ejot be korban tzibur, certainly it should be permissible by a kohen ejot that's dealing with a korban tzibur. So what he wants to suggest is, just like tuma hutra b'tzibur, so too aninut hutra b'tzibur, because you see that as a kal v'chomer from tuma. Tuma, which is hutra b'tzibur, is yet restricted for a kohen gadol with a korban yachid. Aninut that is permitted by Kohen Gadol be Korban Yechid certainly should have Aninut Hutra Vitzibur. Tozo does point out that according to Rava's suggestion over here that the Tzitz is Miratzeh on a Korban Tzibur, even by Kohen Adyot, he says then what was the issue with regards to the Seir Nisraf? If the Seir Nisraf was being Nisraf because possibly Elazar v'Itamar did the Avoda and they were Kohen Adyot engaged in a Korban Tzibur, well, you're telling me that tzitz is miratzeh. Well, the tzitz is miratzeh, then why wasn't it being eaten by them? So the answer that the Baal Tosafot note is that tzitz is miratzeh by aninut, similar to the way that it is miratzeh by tuma. And tzitz is miratzeh by tuma, which means that the emurim of the korban can be put on the mizbeach, but that doesn't let you eat the korban. Tzitz miratzeh just says the korban can be put on the mizbeach, but not that you can eat the korban. And that's the major issue over here. By aninut, if it's learned from tuma, we'll have the same problem. So maybe you can place the korban on the mizbeach, but you can't eat it. And that was exactly the problem that they were having with this korban, was that nobody could eat it. And it sits being meratzeh, is not going to change that fact. And that's why they were so rich. The seir in the end is because there were no eaters of the korban. Matkif lo rova bari loy. Rabbi says, I don't understand that logic, rova. No totar aninut, it's a kohen gadol, for korban yachid, mikal v'chomer. Based on your logic, you could actually come to the opposite conclusion, and actually conclusions that are against what we know in the Torah. Which is, you could come to a conclusion through a kal v'chomer that aninut by a kohen gadol and a korban yachid should be restricted. Uma tuma shutra itzel kohen yajot, just like by tuma, which is permitted by a kohen yajot, bit sibur the korban sibur, lo hutra itzel kohen gadol be korban yachid, tuma is not permitted by a kohen gadol and a korban yachid, aninut shalot rites of kohen ejot the korban sibur. When it comes to aninut, where we don't have any dispensation by the korban sibur, Enu dinch lo tutar etzel kohen gadol be korban yachid. Certainly then a kohen gadol by korban yachid should not be able to perform it when he is an onein. So then you come actually to a conclusion through that logic that's the opposite of what the pasuk says. And then he goes on to show that even if you want to go from different directions, this kal vachomer will land you in conclusions that are problematic. The first of which is, this goes against the limud we had, that a kohen gadol is mutar ve'aninut, and from your kal vachomer, just using it the opposite way, we would end up thinking that a kohen gadol is asur ve'aninut. So what are you going to answer? The pasuk says that a kohen gadol is mutar ve'aninut, and that's why we know it. Well, he says, how do you know that a kohen gadol is mutar ve'aninut be'korban yachid? Because the pasuk spoke generically. Since the pasuk spoke generically, we assume it applies to a korban yachid and to a korban tzibur. And so if you're going to use generic as your premise, then you got to look at it being generic across the board, and you can't qualify any of these statements. And that's really because Rava himself makes an assumption up front that the pasuk is speaking generically. By tumah hutra b'tzibur, he doesn't distinguish between a kohen gadol and kohen erjot. He just takes it generically in that way. Then he uses the kal vachomer to qualify the din with regards to an onein. So then Rava Bar Ilai's question on him is, well, if you're going to take an assumption of generic statements by the pasuk, and then use kal vachomers to change that by other psukim, then let me show you how that kal vachomer could backfire on you, or could actually give you opposite conclusions than what you want. Once you do that, then you could say the following thing. Mitutar tuma etzel kohen gadol b'korban yachid mikal vachomer. Uma aninut shlo utar etzel kohen gadol b'korban tzibur. Aninut by korban tzibur is no permission for a kohen gadol. Hutra etzel kohen gadol b'korban yachid. A kohen gadol is permitted by a korban yachid to perform avodah when he's on the name. Tuma shutra etzel kohen gadol. Tuma where by the kohen gadol is mutar b'korban tzibur. Enu din shutra etzel kohen gadol b'korban yachid. And certainly it should be permissible with a kohen gadol by a korban yachid. So tuma should allow the kohen gadol to continue to avoda even by korban ota yachid, based on that kal vachomer. Velo totar tuma it's a kohen gadol by korban tzibur by kal vachomer. Or go the other way, and you'll end up with a kal vachomer that says that a kohen gadol is not allowed to perform avoda even by korban ota tzibur when there's tuma. Mani nu chu try it's a kohen gadol by korban yachid, and you know it by a korban yachid and a kohen gadol is mutar. Lo hutra etzel kohen gadol b'korban tzibur. Despite that fact, by a kohen gadol and a korban tzibur, it's not permissible. Tuma shlo hutra etzel kohen gadol b'korban yachid. Tuma where it wasn't permissible for a kohen gadol by a korban yachid. Eino din shlo tutar b'kohen gadol b'korban tzibur. And certainly for the kohen gadol b'korban tzibur, it should not be permissible. And again, that would go against what we know from the psukim. Ella ika lemifra chochi. This kal vachomer can lead you in all different directions. Therefore, each one of them you'll keep in its place. And Rashi explains what the Gemara is saying over here. Hilkach kocheda ika beduchta kiktiva tastam. You will take every pasuk at face value and say whatever is written generically. There were no specifications. There were no distinctions between kohen gadol, kohen gadol, Tuma, Tzibor, Yochid, none of those distinctions are mentioned in the Psukim. Therefore, the conclusion is, Kishin Nesra lehedjot, ben b'yochid, ben b'tzibor Nesra. When it says that it's a sur for a hedjot to be involved in aninut, that'll be true whether it's a korban yachid, whether it is a korban tzibor, against what Rava said. And so too, shehutra tuma b'tzibor, and when tuma was hutra b'tzibor, hutra af the kohen hedjot. But we didn't distinguish between Kohen Ejot and Kohen Gadol. Tuma Uchra B'tzibur applies to all Kohenim. There was no distinction made. Uchsha Nesra Korban Yachid, Nesra of the Kohen Gadol. And similarly, when Tuma Korban Yachid is Asur, not only is it Asur for Kohen Ejot, it's Asur for Kohen Gadol. Or in essence, we're going to read everything in a generic manner. So that means the Isur Aninut will apply to a Kohen Ejot no matter what. Doesn't matter, Korban Yachid, Korban Tzibur, it's going to apply. Tuma Uchra B'tzibur is going to be by a Korban Tzibur, whether you're a Kohen Ejot or a Kohen Gadol. Tuma Asura, the Korban Yachid, that will apply both to a Kohen Ejot and to a Kohen Gadol. But in that way, you do it all generically. Now, the Balei HaTosafot asked from numerous places in Shas, where we find alternative Kal V'chomers, and yet the Gemara does not accept all the conclusions. Why don't we say in all those cases, take the pasuk at face value and just learn it generically? Shema shiny hocha. Maybe it's different over here. Mishom dani kavachomer satre hadodi. Every one of these kavachomers that Rabbi Bar Ilai brought undermine each other. They are mutually exclusive kavachomers. Masha ain came behanu, which is not true in the other examples I brought, where the kavachomer can live together. Batam kamoshi perish pekuntris. Mishom dinichtavu aktuvim stam. The reasoning is like Rashi said over here, that the psukim here are written generically. Since the psukim are written generically here, and therefore you can learn the Kal v'chomer in every direction, trying to be mechalik, to say maybe this, maybe yes, maybe no. Once you do that, you come to all of these either undermining conclusions that go against what we know is the halacha, or you come to opposing conclusions. And that tells you that those Kal v'chomer, that logic is not a proper assumption of logic in this case. Therefore, we'll dismiss all the Kal v'chomer and just take the psukim at face value. As opposed to the other cases where I quoted you, where those Kal v'chomer can live together with the psukim. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive, Kal v'chomer, or they are not undermining the pasuk in any way. And for that reason, they can coexist, the pasuk and the Kal v'chomer. But here, since the Kal v'chomer cannot coexist, then by definition, we're going to drop all the Kal v'chomer and take the psukim at their face value, that they are stated generically. Okay, we'll stop here by the two dots in the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph.